Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
Filling up this morning, $2.95. Price to beat for a gallon of gas. More on your money at WTAM.com. Just use the keyword money. Couple things coming up and trending. Scott Scuderis, producer extraordinaire, alongside. They figured out how to spend our money, right?
Yes, they did. Biden and the senators. But there's a one big catch, though. We'll
get to that?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Microsoft
it's
Windows
an easy question.
11 they're showing off as well?
So. Yeah, Microsoft 11. How about that in Agent Meister of the Geek Squad Tuesday? That'll be a big topic for him.
Another no-hitter, too, thrown last night.
Ooh, Cubs and Dodgers.
Couple things coming up and trending, and I need some help. Pat Butler, you need to keep a sharp ear to this. The Jonas Brothers will be burning up Cleveland this weekend. They're going to tape something for the NBC Macy's 4th of July Fireworks Spectacular.
Oh.
My sources say it's 6:30 Sunday at an undisclosed location.
Ah.
So you need to, you probably know all this stuff because you're a traffic guy.
I'll be monitoring the social medias then.
Because we need to stay on top of this for a certain host's daughter that is a part of it, I think. So,
all right.
Okay? Be aware.
All right.
Just so you know.
Put the word out to my sources.
All right.
Traffic update in 9 minutes at 5:20. Pat Butler, WTAM traffic on 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
Thank you, Pat. Weather, Cleveland 3 News forecast from meteorologist Matt Stanridge. For our day today, warm, humid, scattered showers, thunderstorms around this afternoon, 80s. Storms this evening, more isolated storms possible over the weekend. Getting the boat out or thinking about Lake Erie, watch out for a thunderstorm. South winds, 10 to 15 knots, a couple of scattered showers, thunderstorms, wave 1 to 3 today. Probably 2 feet or less for most of the weekend. Water temp right now, Cleveland, by the way, 67. I've got 71 at your severe weather station. Good.
What you want and need to know to start the day. Wills and Snyder, Cleveland's Morning News on Cleveland's News Radio, WTAM 1100.
Scotty, are you excited the Jonas Brothers will be recording something in Cleveland Sunday evening at 6:30?
Who are they?
A yet undisclosed location.
Who are they?
What do you mean, who are they? Come on. Jonas Brothers.
I didn't know that they still were recording.
Get out of here.
I didn't.
I get home.
Jonas.
And I had 15 million things going on. Okay. Then I hear from my daughter. She's like, Dad, have you seen this? Have you seen this? I'm thinking, what did I miss? I mean, I'm a news guy. I'm trying to stay on top of everything, right? Yes. We're getting 15,000 text messages, emails. Everything's going on in the world. I'm monitoring, you know, CNBC, Fox, Cleveland.com, USA Today, iHeartMedia.
Our newsroom.
And she's like, Dad, didn't you know? Didn't I know what? The Jonas Brothers. So if you got a daughter that is into the Jonas Brothers, or you are, maybe you know about this, the special fan experience. People are signing up. They don't know where to go yet. We are told the Jonas Brothers will return, though, September 22nd. That's a date I know because they're at Blossom with Kelsey Ballerini.
Oh, okay.
And I knew that.
So you got that confirmed.
I got that confirmed because you know who had to help with tickets, but that's beside the point. So the Jonas Brothers, 6:30 Sunday night at an undisclosed location.
Ooh.
So I'm just letting you know. It could be in Lakewood. Now, see, you're laughing at me.
No, it
could
be. But
Sunday evening about 6:15, you and Janice are out walking.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you could see the Jonas Brothers on the streets of Lakewood recording something, and you'll know what was going on.
I'm prepared
because
now.
You were listening right
now. I'm prepared, exactly. Sunday night, 6:30.
They could be in Medina. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Scoot's got a couple things up there. Microsoft 11 and President Biden and all the senators got together. They're happy. They figured out how to spend their money.
Well, they said that they reached a deal, Bill. But the big question is, will this bill make it through the full Senate and House? So I don't care what kind of deal you think you got.
You
got
to get a vote.
Yes,
all right,
exactly.
That story's up there for you. By the way, it's Take Your Dog to Work Day.
All right.
Which... You know, still a third of the country's not even in the office. I'm not sure where you just take your...
Where do you take them?
Take your dog to your Zoom call if you're sitting at home today.
I guess, right.
And the one other thing on TV this weekend, if you got Apple TV Plus, this looks interesting. Who Are You, Charlie Brown? Is a documentary on the origin of the Peanuts character and the creator, Charles Schulz. I guess it's pretty good. It's gotten some pretty good
reviews. Now, that's so interesting there. Interesting. Charlie Brown is the greatest.
Of Charlie
the
Brown,
Peanuts. That's a
Apple
great.
TV Plus. If you got that, look for that this weekend. All right. Thanks, Scoop.
You're welcome.
Coming up in five, Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, Tuttle a Restaurant, Beer News, got a new popcorn place. If you're into popcorn, popcorn place at Crocker. He'll take us to the original popcorn house. Okay, that's coming up on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder, WTAM 1100. 515 Sports. Mike's in from the Union Home Mortgage Sports Desk. They just keep on winning.
Well, they found a way. They battled the Twins in game one of a four-game series. This one was tied, one aside. Eighth inning, Indians have the bases loaded after the Twins elected to intentionally walk Jose Ramirez to have left-hander Taylor Rogers come on to pitch to the former Twin, left-handed hitting Eddie Rosario, now, of course, an Indian.
The pitch. And it's swung on, ground ball, base hit to center. That'll score Hedges. Here comes Ahmed Rosario. On his way to third, Jose Ramirez. And Eddie Rosario gets a little sweet revenge. He bangs a two-run single to center after they walked the batter ahead of him, even with first base occupied. 3-1. The Indians take the lead. Eddie Rosario now with 41 runs batted in.
Tribe would score one more, go on to win it by a 4-1 score. J.C. Mejia gave them six strong innings. Boy, that was great to see after he was shaky in the first two. And the series now continues tonight at 8:10. You can hear it right here and free on the iHeartRadio app. Cal Quantrill gets the start. Tribe chose the White Sox by two now in the division. In Columbus last night, Franmil Reyes and Roberto Perez both in the lineup for the Clippers on rehab assignments. Franmil goes 1-for-3 and knocked in a run. Berto went 0-for-3. Another no-no in baseball last night.
The Dodgers without a hit. Two down, bottom of the ninth inning. Kimbrel is ready. And the 0-2. Swing and a miss. The Cubs have done it. A combined no-hitter for the first time in the long and legendary history of the Chicago Cubs. And the Cubs win the ball game by a score of 4-0.
Boy, how do the Dodgers get no hits? Seven no hitters now in baseball, and I guess this one occurred without any use of sticky substances, and the seven no nos now equals the record. So the next one that's thrown, they've got to the end of the season, would be a new record for no hitters in a major league season, at least in the modern era. NBA playoffs last night, Clippers get on the board as they defeat the Suns 106-92. Phoenix still leads it 2-1. Indiana Pacers are going to hire Rick Carlisle to be their new head coach as he left Dallas. Looks like Jason Kidd will get Carlisle's old job with the Mavericks. Hockey, the Montreal Canadiens are going back to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 1993. They beat Las Vegas in six games. We'll meet the winner of tonight's Tampa-New York Islanders game. And the Steelers have released six-time Pro Bowl guard David DeCastro. I guess he's got an ankle issue. They've let him go. They've picked up veteran guard Trey Turner, who has also been to the Pro Bowl, to replace him. Steelers going to have a revamped-looking offensive line. And still COVID concerns around. Pittsburgh has historically held their training camp in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, but they're not going to be able to do that this year because of COVID, as the NFL won't let them do it in that area. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
He'll be back in court today. Former officer Derek Chauvin will be sentenced. Our Michael Bauer this morning, his attorneys pretty much say just let him go, and the prosecutors say 30 years?
Yeah, that's what it could be, 40 years. That's what he's facing at this point in time, a maximum of 40 years in prison when he's sentenced today for the murder of George Floyd. You're going to see the defense, at least at this point in time, expected to ask the judge for a new trial as well. So they're going to say, look, not only is it time served, but we also feel we deserve a new trial. Meanwhile, the 40 years is what you're seeing the prosecutors push for there. Here's the reality of the situation. You know, Chauvin, who placed Floyd in that fatal knee to neck restraint for 9 minutes and 29 seconds, he was found guilty on all three counts of second and third degree murder as well as manslaughter. But he's part of a small group of non-federal law enforcement officers, like police officers, deputy sheriffs, state troopers, who have been convicted on charges related to on-duty killings in the past 15 years. And an even smaller bunch to be convicted of murder. And on average, those officers have received far less prison time at sentencing than their civilian counterparts. On average, the punishment for the nine who have been sentenced so far is 21.7 years in prison. 81 months being the shortest, life in prison being the longest. It's quite a range, but 21 years, is that going to be enough to make the people of Minneapolis feel like that was a safe sentencing on some level here for Derek Chauvin? That's yet to be seen. Again, we're pretty sure that there will be the defense asking for another trial here, but that doesn't look likely either. So the one big question will remain, will Chauvin make a statement on his own for himself at his sentencing? He did not testify on his own during the trial, instead invoking his Fifth Amendment privilege. But the concern here is that if he says something that looks kind of like an admission of guilt, he still has federal charges, federal prosecution waiting for him. This could be used in those cases. So he's got to be careful with what he says. So the expectation is he might say something, but if he does, it'll be relatively short. Also expected that several members of Floyd's family will be expected to make victim impact statements before the sentencing as well. But we're hearing from the Hennepin County Government Center where the hearing is taking place. It'll be closed to the public today in preparation for the sentencing. But we're also hearing from Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. They have not requested support from the Minnesota National Guard. They do plan to be in close contact with the police department, all playing out for what will happen following the sentencing. And will the people of Minneapolis feel it was a fair sentencing?
That'll play out today in Minneapolis. Our Michael Bauer on it this morning. Michael, thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Be safe.
It's Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Crime terrorism analyst Brad Garrett joins me. A couple takeaways from President Biden and our Attorney General Merrick Garland this week talking about violent crime and guns, illegal and that sort of thing in this country. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Any president has the bully pulpit to concentrate on a topic. This is one that's been on, I think, all our minds. Give me a few takeaways as to what he and the AG announced this week. What do you think?
Well, nothing was new in that list to me, but he wants to enhance ATF's inspection side. In other words, the ones that go to gun dealers to see if they're actually abiding by the law. So, that's one aspect. Creating what they call gun strike task forces, which there are already some in existence, and increase the numbers of those. In other words, that's a group of ATF agents with other federal law enforcement agencies that focus on illegal gun movements. You know, as you well know, Bill, there's always a problem. One state or one jurisdiction has tight controls on gun purchasing, and the next state over has very loose laws. And so, like the Indiana-Chicago thing, they come into Indiana to buy guns and take them back to Chicago. So is there a way to figure out how that is being trafficked? Because a lot of it is illegal, or a big chunk of it is illegal. Things like that. More money for law enforcement to spend time with people like violence interrupters. These are folks that go into communities that aren't cops, that talk to people that are about to commit violence because there's an intelligence that's going to occur. The goal of a lot of this is to try to be able to break down these barriers between law enforcement and the community, which we both know, Bill, in some neighborhoods, I'm sure Cleveland included,
sure,
that's a really tall order just because of the anger, rage, and disappointment of people in certain minority communities.
I wrote down community policing. This is something you and I have talked about over and over on so many topics. Yeah. It's one thing to go in, have the funding for hiring more people to go into a gun show and just check everybody's permit, but that's where you're presuming things are done legally to start with. You're right. You've got to get in some of these neighborhoods where, down the street, third house or whatever, that's where the guy is where they're selling illegal guns.
Well, that's right. And these programs, Bill, where the police spend more time in the community talking to would-be shooters, talking to would-be victims, sort of a more personal, hey, I'm here to help you relationship, again, can be really tough in some neighborhoods. And the problem, Bill, is a lot of these programs that President Biden talked about take a while to implement. But they really have to be in place for a long period of time for that to really have an appreciable effect on crime reduction. And, we have a short attention span in this country. And so
Right. You
change police chiefs, you change mayors, and they do away with these programs. Now, maybe they should have been done away with. But the point being, you can't really test them until you let them run for a while. And that's a big problem.
Crime terrorism analyst Brad Garrett, former FBI guy, if you take away what President Biden announced this week with the Attorney General about guns. Our Brad Garrett. Brad, thanks much.
Take care, Bill.
sports. Boy, the video images out of Florida just still haunting, sad.
Oh, my goodness, Bill.
Condo complex, the building that came down.
They are so motivated to bring people out safely and restore them to their loved ones.
Well, there's a parking garage that's beneath the building that's given us better access to gain basically tunnel ways to these different floors.
There's going to be an entire building. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 to 13 stories. Most of the building is gone.
When the dust cleared, there was the back half of the building, or back two-thirds of the building was gone. It's down to the ground.
We're looking at what might be concerns with the construction or the condition of the building. We do not have any information at this time to really say.
I'm still in shock. My mother's telling me, oh, don't give up hope, don't give up hope. But who am I kidding? You think I'm going to see somebody crawl out of there? It would be an absolute miracle, and I'd love for that to happen. But I think I have to come to terms that he's passed.
Rory O'Neill is in Florida this morning putting together what we know. Rory?
Yeah, good morning. So they have 3 confirmed fatalities, but there are 99 people who are now unaccounted for. That's not to say they're trapped inside this rubble, but 99 unaccounted for at this point, because it's unclear just how many people were staying at the building at the time it collapsed around 1:30 yesterday morning. Heavy machinery, more of it is arriving on scene, bulldozers and backhoes trying to get some of this debris moved from above, but search teams are also underneath at the underground parking garage trying to work their way through some of that rubble to try to find any potential victims who may be trapped inside.
Life, of course, the most important thing right now, but the next question, of course, will be is, how did this happen?
Sure, and the examination and speculation is rampant. Everything from the ground that was receding at the in this long-term level. I've even heard them blame that explosion off the coast while testing an aircraft carrier. It did cause a seismic event here in Florida, so there's even some speculation that may have been a factor.
All right, Rory O'Neill on it as they continue search rescue operations in the Surfside. Rory, thanks much.
Thanks, Bill.
620 at News Radio, WTAM 1100. WTAM 1100, this is Bill Wills. Movies, something new to watch this weekend. It is a big one, as a matter of fact. Bringing our buddy Kevin Carr at FatGuysTheMovies.com. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm good, pal. And hard not to see promos or commercials or something about Fast and Furious 9, you know?
It is tough. You know, you do have to live under a rock, but, you know, that's why they make these movies, so they can expose everybody to them.
They're hoping for a big weekend, too, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I mean, Fast and Furious movies have been doing really well in the box office over the years, and they really haven't lost steam. They do tend to make more money overseas than they do domestically, so even if it's a little bit disappointed, I think they're still banking money with all the openings they've had overseas. You know, it's... This is, I don't know what else you can say about Fast and Furious movies that hasn't been said over the last 8 movies. You know, it's Fast and it's Furious. You got Dominic Toretto fighting against a rogue agent who is going to get a machine that allows them to connect to and take over any computer in the country. And, you know, it's an absurd story. It's kind of become a caricature of itself, but that's part of the fun. I mean, it's not James Bond. It's Austin Powers.
Yeah.
With, you know, cars doing everything from running over landmines and surviving to going into space for some crazy reason.
It's just a big, fun popcorn flick, right?
Yeah, now you got to realize it does run about 2.5 hours long, but I don't think that's going to stop people from seeing the movie. It's just good to know. They do tend to run a little bit over two hours. But yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's you look, if you're looking for pragmatic characters and science and physics, you're not going to get it here.
See what it does at the box office this weekend, without a doubt. F9, the Fast Saga. Okay, Kevin Carr, FatGuysTheMovies.com. Got another one here. Werewolves Within...
Yes, this is a smaller independent film, and it is based on a video game. And the video game is about basically a bunch of people in a town. You have to guess who is the werewolf by the end of the game. And it's the same sort of thing where this sheriff has come to his new town, which is a small little community in Vermont, that gets snowed in, and there's a... you know, there's a snowstorm and a blackout, so they have to deal with each other. And it's something's haunting the area. They think it might be a wolf or a werewolf. And so it's the level of paranoia everybody feels in a situation like this as it moves forward. But it's done in a very funny way. You know, they have some dry humor. They got some slapstick. It's not just a heavy-duty werewolf movie. It's more of a lark and fun right now.
I was looking at doing a little prep to talk to you this morning. I knew New York Post headline was Werewolves Within Review is a spastic horror comedy. So that sounds about right from what you're telling me.
That sounds accurate. Right. Yeah, I like that. It is true.
If you got Apple TV Plus, by the way, Who Are You, Charlie Brown? Interesting documentary special about the Peanuts character and their creator, Charles Schulz, also drops this weekend. Kevin Carr is at fatguysthemovies.com. Check out the site and, of course, his podcast. Always some fun stuff. Great movie news as well. Kevin, thanks much.
All right, we'll talk to you.
And now, 5 Good Minutes.
We'll touch on the tribe and all our teams we do on Fridays with Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Theater, cleveland.com, Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
The Cavs, let's start there. You columnists, you know, you throw out things and then we in sports talk radio talk about it and get reaction, then you write about reaction, so let's go right to the Cavs.
Yes.
Colin Sexton, how many moves, or they need to make some moves this summer? Depending on, we got a better draft position than we thought, but we got some guys that we might be able to move around, and you're throwing the question out there about Sexton.
Right, primarily because he's now in line for this big contract extension, and do you pay this guy? I have to admit, when I'm talking about this guy getting $100 million, that guy getting $100 million, both of these guys getting $100 million, the second guy being Jared Allen, and you won 22 games, I'm like, huh?
You're right. Well, yeah, you're absolutely
and
right.
That's why the question comes up. Colin has made himself into a really good player. I mean, he has as a number 8 draft pick, and you look at where he was this rookie season where he looked pretty lost most of the time to now where he averaged 24 points and that. He's a good player. But is he the kind of player that, you know, really vaults you to a higher level and, you know, pay him like the quote-unquote max player? I don't do it. And look, it's clear they have to get this roster, get some zip on it with some older guys. So you have to trade somebody for that.
Yeah, you really look at it, Terry. You know, when you see Garland, Sexton, Okoro out there, and they're all on their own. They're all very good players, young, developing players, but they're always undersized when they go up against other teams.
I have had two executives from other teams say they have to pair, they like Garland better than Sexton. Because he's really a natural point guard, especially a modern one with the ability to shoot from the outside. And they said you would pair him with a bigger shooting guard, and they mentioned Okoro to me, or you draft one or that, and they're in position to do that. And he said Sexton actually ideally is an instant offense guy off the bench for a really good team. So the problem is if you pay him $150 million or whatever these max thing is, then you're expecting him to start, and you expect him to start next to Garland for years to come. And why do you think that backcourt's going to work?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, it's going to, at least there's certainly, they've got a better chip to play now with that third pick, and we'll see what they maneuver. Terry, the Indians, a revamped out of necessity rotation. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, you know, a couple of years ago, I think it was in 2018, when they kept bringing up the starters. And they used 12 different ones. That was when we first got a look at Bieber and Savali. And please, that came up.
Right.
I think they went through 11 of them. I mean, I don't know how many it's going to be this year. But in the same way they found a couple starters out of that mess, you know, and that mess being that we didn't know who those guys were, they may do it again. That's what this may create. Only you're going through even a deeper talent pool. You know, maybe you find out Eli Morgan is another Josh Tomlin or somebody like that. And you find out Quantrill can start. I mean, Mejia, I didn't think he's going to make it out of the second.
I know.
And actually, my wife and I went for a night hike. We were hearing he was struggling, and we get back in the car. He's still in the game. Like Hamilton, like, I couldn't believe, nobody could believe it.
It really,
but it happens, you know.
Yeah, but there have been some encouraging things. They hang out. Terry, a lot of talk, of course, with the Browns. When you have success, you got to pay people. How important is it in your mind that they get an extension done with Baker Mayfield this year?
Not critical, but it would be nice. I'm going to be writing about some of that coming up over the weekend and furthermore. But the thought of, even in a couple of years of like trying to go look for another quarterback, I don't want to think about it. I tell you, one thing that people sort of just pass off about Baker is his durability.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has not missed a start. Now, if he's not any good, never misses a start, that could be a negative control. He's watching this guy play poorly. But he's not missed a start. And the way he came around, I have a comp come up for the weekend where a couple of the people kind of take him to say, well, he's a system quarterback with Kevin Stefanski, and look at what Cousins did and that. I think it's kind of unfair because if you look back at 2018, you know, in that mess of a season, he had a good year.
Yeah, good takes. All right, well, we'll look forward to what you're going to post and write about this weekend. Cleveland Plain Theater on Sundays, of course, and Cleveland.com. Cleveland, Terry Pluto. Terry, thanks. Have a great weekend, pal.
Take care, guys.
Good stuff. Minute till 7. And again, coming up at 7:20, Jensen Lewis will talk more about Savali and this whole pitching situation.
Yeah, well, and a little bit about the sticky nature that we're in with baseball.
7:15, this is Bill Wills. Hey, Mike, let's start with Don Pageant, our executive director of the Bridgestone Senior Players at Firestone. Round one in the books yesterday. Morning, Don.
Morning, Bill.
Steve Stricker with a 63 saw his interview with Billy Ray on the Golf Channel afterwards. Said he's still struggling putting, but not bad if you can fire a 63 and still maybe think about your putting needs a little work.
Boy, you must be knocking it awful close if you shoot 63 and struggle with your putting. But Steve Stricker played unbelievably yesterday, almost like he played a different golf course in the field. But his ball striking was impeccable. He had it in the fairway most of the day. Got himself a lot of birdie looks. And 7 birdies on Firestone South, including on 16, 17, and 18. Always great to get a birdie on the monster hole.
Well, a long way to go, but boy, yeah, you're right, Don. It was like he did play it differently. In fact, only 7 players actually broke par yesterday, right?
They did. It's a tough golf course. If you're putting in the fairway and hitting it where you're looking, you can make some birdies and get some looks. If you're just a little bit off, Firestone South will jump up and bite you. It is a major championship on PGA Tour Champions, and the golf course is following suit.
And the defending champ, Jerry Kelly, looked like he rallied to kind of keep in touch. He's only 6 back.
Yeah, and at 1 under, Jerry's definitely in the hunt. It'd be really interesting to see how Steve plays today. If he has another low round and continues to separate himself, he's going to be the man to beat this weekend.
Make your plans for the weekend. Enjoy Summerfest at Firestone. All the great golf, all the great names. Get up close, walk around, see them hit shots, and enjoy. And stick around for, get some great concerts, too, lined up for the weekend. Right, Don?
We do. Concerts after play. We've got the Sunrise Jones tonight, the Shootouts tomorrow night, and Akron Symphony Orchestra on Sunday. Shout out to everybody that helped last night. We honor President George W. Bush as our Ambassador of Golf event presented by First Energy Foundation. It was great to see President Bush. Fun evening, and we raised a lot of money for charity.
Outstanding event. You're right. Charity is the big winner. So big thanks to everybody who was involved in that last night, as well as thank you for buying a ticket, being a part of it this weekend. The Bridgestone Senior Players at Firestone, round two underway this morning. Don, thanks much, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Let's hope for a fun, fun weekend and some good golf on Firestone South. Let's talk some Tribe. News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Bally Sports. And on Fridays, we check in with our buddy Jensen Lewis. Morning, pal.
Hey, good morning, boys.
4-1 win last night. I've been waiting to talk to you about Savali. You pitched, you've thrown. Is this a sprain, something you've seen, heard about, had before?
Yeah, I personally haven't had it, but some teammates, guys that I've played with, they've had it. And to be honest, I think the Indians dodged a major bullet here, Willsy, because if it was a tear, then you're looking at, you know, possibly 8-12 weeks. It could be a season ender,
right?
Depending on how bad it was. But this is a best case scenario. Probably going to lead him right into the All-Star break, and then we'll see him hopefully after that. But what could have been just catastrophic ends up being something that I think he can manage.
Well, that is good to hear, Jensen. And, he was pitching so well. It's unfortunate for him because he certainly would have been an All-Star this year. But the games keep coming, don't they? And this rotation, what did you see in Mejia last night? Jensen looked like he wasn't going to get through 2 innings, and there he ended up going 6.
Yeah, he did, Mikey. And when you think about the first 2 innings, him throwing 53 pitches, we talked about on the pregame show yesterday that the first inning has just been his bugaboo. That he, for whatever reason, hasn't been able to kind of settle in. But once he does, those last 4 innings, he only threw 43 pitches in 4 innings. So he's got a great power sinker. He's kind of a throwback guy. He's going to throw a lot more fastballs. But I think his changeup, we saw that a bit more last night, a great third pitch he's starting to develop to go with his breaking ball. It's just a joy to watch. He's a competitor. And again, when you can hold your team in there late, the way the Indians bullpen has pitched and the way their late inning offense has been, you got a great chance to win.
Well, the rotation is what it is now. It's going to be that way. There's no break between now and the All-Star break. And it's been encouraging, though, right? Quantrill, Hentges, and Morgan have all been, given them some decent outings of late.
Yeah, to think that these guys, the majority of them, have not pitched really a ton at AAA, that is in and of itself exceptional. It really is. You get Cal Quantrill tonight, and it looks like probably Sam Henches tomorrow. We'll wait and see on Sunday what they want to do, if they're going to keep Eli Morgan on Monday. But either way, to be, you know, 9-10 games above 500, only two games out of a playoff spot, and none of your rotation arms from camp that were in the original five are there. It's just remarkable.
It really is. Jensen, a few days into this week now, all the monitoring of the sticky substances, the commissioner says he thinks it's going very well. We've had a few incidents with Scherzer and so forth. Your thoughts on what you've observed over Major League Baseball with pitching this week?
Well, I don't know what the commissioner's watching, but it's certainly not the Major League Baseball, if he can make that kind of a statement. I had said, and I've been on record on this, it's a horrendous timing to do this in the middle of the season. The competitive integrity of 60-plus games has been compromised because you just don't know, you know, who's been using it egregiously and who hasn't. But I had said to our producer, I said, you watch, someone's going to pull down their pants on live TV. And then sure as heck, 48 hours in, it's happened. So it's going to get worse before it gets better, guys, because I think managers are going to try and use this as gamesmanship. You saw it from Girardi against Max Scherzer. I think that's going to happen a little more often now.
We'll see. You working this weekend?
Yeah, we'll see at 7:30 tonight. Two matinees for you to get you going. So, Willsie, you can get your golf in the morning, and then you can watch us at 1:30 on Saturday.
And when
and
we play, I'm going to be checking your grips, okay? I'm just letting you know before we tee off, there will be an inspection of all equipment.
Yeah, sunscreen will not be a foreign substance. Yeah,
forget counting clubs. I'm more concerned what's on them. All right. You have a great weekend, pal. Be good.
You guys too. Thanks. See you,
Jensen. Jensen Lewis talking Tribe. Dollar Bank Tribe Insider here, presented by Brew Kettle. Cranks up tonight at 7 o'clock. First pitch, 8:10 from Target Field, Minneapolis, and Quantrill's pitching tonight, right?
Yep, Cal Quantrill.
We'll have it for you on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Indians, and of course free on the iHeartRadio app. Andre Knott, bit later at 8:40.
5 good minutes.
Let me just quickly put a button.
Okay.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
I'm here in Guatemala today. At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point.
Congressman Harris with Lester Holt a couple of weeks ago just couldn't try to figure out the answer. She is heading to the border, though, today. Many wonder why it's taken so long, including former Congressman Bob Barr, kind enough to join me on the Fox Hotline this morning on a couple of things. Congressman, appreciate your time. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be with you today.
She couldn't find an answer a few weeks ago. I wonder what if she'll find an answer today being at the border for this problem.
I don't think she's really looking for an answer. They're doing this simply for show. They're doing it simply because the Republicans shamed them into it. But she's not interested in an answer. She knows what's going on. The border is essentially open. There's a big welcome sign. Bienvenidos a los Estados Unidos. Because that's what this administration wants. They don't want to solve the problem. They want to see it continue.
It's a good issue to maybe run on for next year for midterms then?
Well, I don't know whether it's a good issue for them to run on, but what they are hoping is simply two things. One, that some of those people, a lot of those people will eventually, and through relatives here in the United States, vote Democrat, thanking the administration for allowing their relatives to come across the border. And secondly, follow the money. If the administration leaves the border open and more people continue to flood in, that provides a perfect justification for them to spend more money. See, we have to take care of these people. It's all about the money, ultimately.
Congressman, former President Trump is in Northeast Ohio tomorrow for one of the first post-presidential rallies, if you will. The border was a big issue for him. I'm sure he's going to be talking about that as well tomorrow.
I hope he is. I suspect he is. And he is set to go to the border, the real border problem area in the eastern part of the border with Mexico, next Wednesday. That will be substantive, unlike the photo op that is simply all this administration is interested in.
A couple of blog posts you've had recently I find very interesting, especially with Speaker Pelosi announcing a select committee to look at what happened January 6th. You're concerned about that investigation on many levels, aren't you?
I am concerned about it because it's for one reason only, and that is to justify the left and the Democrats continuing to go after those on the right with which they disagree, and to continue to make sure that the courts in the District of Columbia, the U.S. courts there, which are responsible for prosecuting these cases, know that the administration is behind them so that they can bring the hammer down on those people.
Final takeaway, President Biden this week talked about guns, gun violence, some executive orders. Your take on any of that this week?
What the president is doing is, of course, once again, blaming guns for criminal behavior that this administration refuses to address. And what they're going to do if they follow through on their so-called zero tolerance program is they're going to try and put a lot of FFLs, or lawful gun owners, out of business.
Former Congressman Bob Barr with me. Great website and blog posts as always. Always enjoy a chance to talk to him. Congressman, appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Go together.
Thanks for listening to Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. If you miss an interview, find it later on the Wills and Snyder Daily Podcast on WTAM.com or on our iHeartRadio app.
It could be on the streets of Lakewood, Rocky River, North Homestead, I don't know. The Jonas Brothers. I'm being told Sunday night, 6:30.
6:30,
we know that from their fan site. They're going to record something in Cleveland NBC is going to use for the 4th of July. So I'm just saying, Sunday evening about 6:30, if you see some activity,
they could be at the Rocket Mortgage. You could be standing out front up there.
You don't know. We don't know.
Progressive Field?
How about they use the lake somehow? You don't know.
Yeah, Lakewood Park.
I'm just letting you know that that's something to watch out for this weekend. That's
Cleveland Brown Stadium?
So should we kind of like drive around a little
bit? I wouldn't change my schedule, but I'm just letting you know. Okay. You know. Minutes till 8. News Radio WTAM 1100. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder with Scott Scooter, East producer extraordinaire, alongside. Both these guys are taking Monday off, but nobody told me. All right, quick follow-up. Subway, we've had the story about the investigation into their tuna fish.
Oh, the tuna, yes.
Okay, a little follow-up this morning,
what
guys.
What do you got?
You ever heard the word denature?
Not until I read the story. I mean, when I first did it, denature.
D-E-N-A-T-U-R-E.
Denature.
I'd never heard or used the word denature.
I've not heard that.
It's in the defense Subway has. Posted. Okay. Subway's responded to this New York Times story that the paper revealed the lab results suggested the sandwich's chain's tuna is not 100% tuna fish. The New York Times paid for a lab to run a DNA test on a sample of Subway's tuna. Results indicated the meat was not completely tuna, and it may be overprocessed. Now, Subway has now filed, I guess, a statement about what this story is. Subway tells Business Insider, quote, "A recent New York Times report indicates that DNA testing is an unreliable methodology for identifying processed tuna. This report supports and reflects the position that Subway has taken in relation to the meritless lawsuit filed in California and with respect to DNA testing as a means to identify cooked proteins. DNA testing is simply not a reliable way to identify denatured proteins, like Subway's tuna, which was cooked before it was tested." So their defense is, once it's cooked, it's not going to test, I guess, DNA.
It's
like,
not tuna anymore.
Like tuna?
Hey, once I cook it, it's not bacon anymore. Hey, once I cook it, it's not a burger anymore.
So you can't trust the DNA when it comes to this with tuna?
According to the Subway response, at least with tuna, you can't trust the DNA.
And when we did this story earlier, when I posted it a couple days ago, I told you the solution. Forget the tuna salad, get the chicken salad. You go way better. That's all you got to do. Forget the tuna salad, get the chicken salad.
Seconds away from a briefing, our Aaron Katursky at ABC News is going to anchor this. We've got something new out of Florida. Let's hear what that report is. News Radio, WTAM, E1100. It's 8:15 now.
This is live coverage from ABC News. Here is correspondent Aaron Katursky.
Good morning. Authorities in Miami-Dade County are briefing reporters after the all-night search and rescue effort following the partial collapse of the Champlain Towers complex in Surfside, Florida. This is the mayor of Miami-Dade, Daniela Cava.
So, good morning, everyone. Unfortunately, this has been a tragic night. We do have 120 people now accounted for, which is very, very good news. But our unaccounted for number has gone up to 159. In addition, we can tragically report the death count is now 4. I want to be very clear about the numbers. They're very fluid. We'll continue to update you as we have them. But we have confirmed 4 deaths. The search and rescue team worked throughout the night, and
It was a very active scene from above and below. And we also brought heavy machinery onto the site to assist with the operation. And so we are very, very grateful that our president has now authorized FEMA support. And we're joined here today by our FEMA representative who can tell you more. And that is going to assist us in our recovery efforts as well to assist the families. We have the resources for the families at the Family Reunification Center. We've been actively providing them everything that they need, food, shelter, cash to assist with their basic needs, and grief counseling. Obviously a very critical component as we move forward, as people are anxiously waiting for news of their loved ones. At this time, we have received all of the donations of goods and volunteers that we can handle at this time. We're very, very grateful for everyone who has contributed, and we will let people know as the need presents. But we do have two funding sites available for cash donations. Support Surfside.org and CHESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, two sites that are receiving donations. So as we work tirelessly and stand united, local, municipal, county, state, and now federal support, we are going to work as hard as we can to continue our search and rescue effort. That is our priority. That is where we're focused, and protecting our first responders who are on the scene.
That is the mayor of Surfside, Florida, live this morning. Again, the update that she just had, 120 now, Mike Snyder, accounted for. As far as, again, this is a tough thing. It's a condo apartment complex. You know, who's supposed to be there at the time, but they're saying 120 accounted for. The unaccounted number has gone up to 159, but through the night they did find another body and now four dead. So thoughts, prayers continue. They're still calling it a search and rescue operation. There were reports earlier this morning of hearing some noise. And, you know, sadly, we think back after 9/11 when you know, they're digging through the rubble and all of a sudden, stop. Yeah. Everybody be quiet. We're hearing something. So that's the scene as it continues to play out in the Surfside, Florida, this morning, suburb of Miami. 120 accounted for, 159 still unaccounted for, and four dead. The mayor of Surfside, California. 819, this is News Radio, WTAM 1100. News Radio, WTAM 1100. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. On Fridays, from Bally Sports, we check in with our buddy Andre Knott, talk a little Tribe, 4-1 win last night. Hi, Andre.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I was just thinking, when we talked last week, we talked to Andre on Friday, we still had one of our starters.
Yes, we did.
And I think our conversation then was, I said, Andre, if they can just keep hitting, maybe we can stay in. Well, now we're down to none of our regular starters, but they're still hitting, and we got a win last night, right?
It's absolutely amazing. It really is. And last night was a big one because Minnesota had their ace on the mound, and the Indians did not. And for them to be able to win that game last night against the pitcher they were facing, that should speak volumes going into the weekend. You can ask me, but I don't know how long they can do this. I know it's not the whole season, but it's been pretty amazing so far what they've done in the week.
It really has. You know, and Dre, we hear from Tito night after night, and the challenge that is there, and it's like rather than run away from it, I mean, he's embraced, all right, here's what we got to do. That's what I'm hearing, you know?
Yeah, and I think I said it to you guys last week. If there's any manager you want in this situation, it's Tito because of how he goes day by day and one game at a time and all those things that we kind of roll our eyes in the media at when you hear a manager or coach say, but he really lives that way. And I think really the team has played that way. I know we kind of pushed him on it a couple of days ago, and he said, I'm not going to scare these guys and tell them what is really going on in my mind. I'm going to get them ready for the game ahead of us, and we'll go from there. And really, if you look at it, you know, it's a race to the All-Star break. And if they can get there, it looks like once they get there and get out of there, they should be much healthier and able to continue on.
Yeah, a lot of guys like Franmil Reyes and Roberto Perez, they are getting closer too. Great for Randy Rosario to get that big hit yesterday. Dre, I don't care who you are, how many friends you had at your old team. They always got, when you go up against your old team, you always want to get them, don't you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. In spring training, he told me, he said it would be like getting a new girlfriend and showing up to the party when he came to Minnesota, and he wanted to show up with the right girlfriend and show them that they're, what they're missing out on. And I think you saw that in the game last night. He had a pretty big blunder in the sixth inning on the base pass. But when they walked Jose Ramirez, you could tell that's just the type of guy he is. He's one of those guys that shows up in big moments, and you hope this gets the home run ball going for him because he's hit well over the last month. But we haven't seen the power that we were expecting from him. And you just hope this is a moment that kind of gets him going. Because if it does, it changes the balance of this offense, especially, as you said, with Framel hopefully coming in the next 2 weeks or so.
Hey, Dre, what's the latest you've heard regarding Plesac?
Plesac's doing good. Yesterday he threw 40 pitches off the mound. He threw all of his pitches. He's probably another bullpen away from going out on a rehab assignment. Everything for the situation, he'll be the first one that comes back. And from what I've heard, Shane Bieber hasn't thrown a ball yet, but he's doing pretty good as well. He could start throwing on Monday or Tuesday. So for as bleak as it sounds and as bleak as it's been, Mike, we may be getting closer to having actual starting pitchers that you know and that were in the media guys 3 months ago.
three on this road trip so far.
They were in that little print at the back, right?
Yeah, hanging there this weekend. Tigers here next week. Andre, not Bally Sports. You got the coverage over the weekend too, right?
All weekend long, yes. Day games tomorrow and Sunday, which will be pretty good. Tonight, you have the ace, I guess, in Quantrill. And to be honest,
yeah,
Quantrill, to me, in this whole setting, will become the most important thing of this because in spring training, they wanted him to be a starter. It didn't work out right, and they're seeing some Carlos Carrasco in him right now from where he's learned from the bullpen what to be. In the long run, just remember this. This could be huge for the Indians because if Kyle Quantrill becomes what they want, that will be big over the next 2-3 years.
Great takeaway. Andre Knott, Bally Sports over the weekend for the Indians against the Twins. Thanks, pal.
Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too, buddy. 8:10 first pitch tonight, 7 o'clock. Our coverage starts with the Dollar Bank Tribe Insider presented by Brew Kettle. And our entertainment guy, Jason Nathanson, on the weekend here coming up. Hi, pal.
Hey, good morning.
Before we get to your review, I guess a number we're going to look at Monday is the box office because you got 4th of July next weekend, so much of the country is reopening and people feeling more comfortable. This should be one of the biggest weekends at the theaters for this thing.
Yeah, we're really hoping that the new Fast and Furious movie, F9, really restarts the box office. This is the push and the jump that we need to really get things going again and get the summer and get the industry really, you know, humming because it's just been such a bad 15 months for movies, and we really haven't seen any kind of consistency when it comes to the box office and things opening. So with F9 this weekend, and then in 2 weekends from now, you're going to have Black Widow, which is the first Marvel movie. They're putting the studios are putting the big movies in theaters, but we're still not sure if audiences are really going to go, and this weekend is going to be the biggest test because with this movie, F9, opening, this is the biggest blockbuster in theaters, since they've opened fully and people are getting back to the theaters.
All right, F9, does this follow the franchise formula, a lot of action we're going to see?
It does, unfortunately not to the quality that I think we've come to expect. Not that I think the Fast and Furious movies are known necessarily for their quality, but
right. They
are known for their spectacle, they are known for just being big, fun, dumb popcorn movies.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this one is just dumb. Even the big action set pieces didn't really do a whole lot for me. There's some, I don't know, I thought that there was some shady CGI going on as well.
Hmm.
And the story, forget about it.
No, okay.
You have John Cena joining it this time around. He plays Vin Diesel's brother. You have a lot of callbacks to a lot of the old movies. You have Justin Lin, who's back as director. He's kind of known for making the franchise the big blockbuster it is. He directed the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth movies, I believe. So he's back at the helm here. But it didn't work for me. It did not come together.
Okay.
I will say this, though. At the screening that I saw it in, the theater, people were cheering. People were excited. They were excited. I don't know if they're just excited to be back in a big theater or if they're excited for the movie itself, but when certain things happened, certain people popped up on screen, certain stunts happened, the crowd was going crazy.
All right, F9 at the theaters. A couple things streaming on Netflix. Liam Neeson's driving a truck.
Yes, he is, and he's driving a truck on ice.
Okay.
In the Ice Road, which is a Netflix film. It's streaming today. Him, Lawrence Fishburne.
something happens and they got to get basically a bunch of trucks up to in Canada in a matter of 72 hours or something like that. And what it takes is they have to drive through winter over an ice road, and then there's somebody trying to foil their thing. And it's a, you know, it's a.
I'm going
to
hear Jerry Reed in the background. Am I Eastbound and Down or anything?
I think maybe there's a little bit of that that they lean into, but it's and you know it was filmed in Winnipeg in winter, and Liam Neeson told me it was minus 35 degrees, and they're actually in the water at some point. So that's, I mean, it looks good from that point. There, you know, there's no faking it. There's no CGI, but also not the greatest story.
Okay. The Ice Road, Netflix, Apple TV Plus dropping the Charlie Brown documentary on Charlie and Charles Schulz that created everything, and Disney Plus also doing one on Wolfgang, right?
Yeah, this is probably the thing I like the most of everything that I saw. It's a documentary called Wolfgang about Wolfgang Puck, the original celebrated celebrity chef, and his rise to fame and his empire, but also how hard his childhood was and things like that. And it's from the director of Jiro Dreams of Sushi, which was a fantastic documentary a few years ago. And he also makes the Chef's Table series on Netflix.
Interesting. Good stuff as always. Appreciate your honesty. That's why we love talking to you. ABC's Jason Nathanson. Follow him on Twitter, ABC News Jason. Thanks, pal.
All right, take care.
Enjoy your week next week, pal.